break a promise. You're constant in all you do. Yours is the way, the truth, the life that I would choose. Oh,
and we turn to you. Jesus, you can be seated if you want to, or you can stand if you want. You can run around if you want. It's okay. Welcome, welcome, Wednesday night. Last night of our Pentecost conference. So I think we've had a great week, haven't we? We've learned a lot. Our heads are exploding with knowledge and understanding. And then what do we do with that knowledge? What do we do with that understanding? Hope it comes down right here, right, into our hearts. And then we do something about it. We do something about it. I've said it and I'll say it again. I'd rather somebody take one scripture verse and do that one scripture verse rather than memorize an entire chapter knowing they're not going to do anything about it. So what we learn, we need to put into action. Amen. Praise the Lord. If this is your first time here, welcome to Only Believe Tonight. Yes, the air conditioning is on us. Enjoy it. Praise the Lord. 93 degrees outside today. If you were out there today, woo, it was a hot one, right? It's still 90 right now, as a matter of fact. So it'll be 93 tomorrow, so enjoy it tomorrow as well. Go outside and go, you know what? If this is nothing like hell's going to be, but this is hot, so I don't think I want anything to do with it. So, you know, make sure that you get your life right because it'll be a lot hotter there than it is here. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Praise the Lord. So listen, if you're here for the first time tonight, again, thank you for coming out. And we'd like to get some information from you. So just tap your phone up there on that screen and you'll get some information about the church. We get to hear some stuff about you. If you don't like all this tech stuff, go out to the Welcome Center and we'll help you out at the Welcome Center and get you some information you need out there. Amen. All right. So if you need prayer today for anything, we have people standing up somewhere around here and they're going to be handing out prayer cards for you. Listen, we've said it and we're always going to say it. We're a church that prays first. And I was thinking on my way to church today, okay, there's so much happening right now. Like there's surgery going on right now with a person. So we're praying for them. We have a man in the hospital right now, not doing well. We're praying for him. See, I've got a funeral Friday and we're praying for the family, for peace and comfort for that. We have intercessors in the back. We started putting them back there and they're praying during every service. Hallelujah, for the move of God. We have them back there as well. You all are supposed to be praying for our trip to Kisumu, Kenya that we, Eric and I and three other pastors leave Sunday. You're supposed to be praying about that. There's so many things that we are praying about because we pray first. Amen? So if you need any prayer at all, please fill that out. And then when God answers your prayer, please fill that out on our praise reports as well. We want to hear what God is doing because God is at work and He's doing amazing things in this house for the church. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. And it's time for our tithes and offerings. So listen, if you have an offering, hold on to it because we're going to give that to our speaker tonight. But as far as your tithe goes, you can get it ready. And our scripture verse for the month is up on the screen, and it's Psalms 96, verse 8, and it says, give to the Lord the glory due His name. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. You know, when I think of that, nobody can add to God's glory. Nobody can. No, but we can acknowledge it. We acknowledge His glory, do we not? Absolutely we do. We acknowledge it, but we can't add to it. So we acknowledge Him. And then it says, bring an offering and come into His courts. So give to the Lord. Give Him the glory that's due His name. Acknowledge God's glory. Recognize God's glory. Number two, the psalmist is telling us we need to honor Him the right way. We honor Him with reverence. We honor Him for His love. We thank Him for His justice, for His mercy, woo, for His power. Come on. And then number three, the psalmist is saying we express that honor through worship and giving. Through worship and giving, coming into His courts. Listen, we don't worship Him from a distance. We come into His courts. Yes, we come into His courts. We come boldly before Him and we worship Him. And we give to Him. We do it in word and we do it in deed. Amen? That's what our scripture is all about this month. So stand to your feet today. We're going to pray over our tithes. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for revelation of your word. Thank you, Father, for that Bible, Lord Jesus. Your living word, Zoe word. God, that when we use it, when we do what it says, hallelujah, we are blessed by it. And it changes our lives. It revolutionizes our lives. And it transforms our lives if we do it. And God, I thank you, Father, that word will not just be in our minds, but God, it will get into our hearts and we will act on what it says. And when we do that, God, you will do your part as well. We thank you for that tonight. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Bring your tithes up. Hallelujah.
My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you have joined us today. Caleb, what do we got coming up here at Only Believe?
Here at Only Believe, we believe that strong marriages are the backbone of healthy families, and healthy families are the backbone of a healthy church. This is the heart behind the small group Marriage Is Us. Marriage Is Us is a small group specifically designed for couples of all ages who are looking for ways to strengthen their marriage. This small group meets on the second Sunday of every month at 9 a.m. in the loft. If you have any questions or want more information, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby.
Hey, church family, Pastor Tim here with Pastor Jared. We're excited to talk to you guys about Move Up Sunday. Take it away, Pastor Jared.
Thanks, Pastor Tim. Yeah, Move Up Sunday is June the 28th, the 10 a.m. service right at the beginning. We will be praying over our graduating seniors and all the students who are moving into new classes. Pastors Randy and Nicole will be laying hands on them. It will be a powerful time of ministry. We will have information for you in the children's church, and we look forward to celebrating this important time with you then.
Are you looking for a way to spend your Friday night? Well, we want to invite you to Gather, happening on July 17th at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. It's a women's only event bringing women together of all ages for a night of real conversation, delicious food, and an encouraging word from Pastor Nicole. To get signed up, you can scan the QR code on the bottom of the screen, or you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. And we would like to make all of you know that there is not going to be childcare for this event. We cannot wait to gather with you.
Have you decided to follow Jesus but don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is baptism. Baptism is one of the ways that we participate in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's an outward expression of an inward change. And we have a heated indoor baptism waiting for you to take this next step. If you have any questions or you'd like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We can't wait to take this next step with you.
Hey, church family, Pastor Tim here. Just a reminder that Serve Day projects, we still need volunteers for them. So if you haven't signed up yet and you still want to, you can. Here's how you can do it. The QR code on the screen, you can go to the Welcome Center in the lobby and ask them what projects we got going on during Serve Day, or through our website. Again, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me here at the church. Everyone can make a difference. Let's make a difference together.
Are you looking to take your next steps here at Only Believe? Well, we want to invite you to Growth Track, held on the first Sunday of each month, right after service. Growth Track invites you to connect and learn about your God-given gifts and how you can use them in meaningful, powerful ways. And you'll also learn the vision and the history of Only Believe Church and the heart behind the church. And it gives you a perfect opportunity to say yes to becoming a member of Only Believe Church. Our desire for you is to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and to make a difference. With lunch and childcare provided, all that's left for you is to come ready to grow and connect. So to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the bottom of the screen, or you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby. We cannot wait to walk this journey with you.
And as always, if you have any questions or want any more information, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby, and our team will do the best they can to help you out there. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds as we dive into God's Word today.
Amen, amen. Well, as Pastor Randy just mentioned, it's hard to believe tonight is the last night of our Pentecost conference. We've heard so many great reports. Many of you have been sharing testimonies of breakthroughs in your life, miracles taking place, and it's always a It's always an honor and a privilege to hear these testimonies. The Bible says in Luke 17 that Jesus healed 10 lepers, but one came back to give God praise. We really appreciate when you take the time to give praise to God for what he's done. You encourage our hearts, you encourage our spirits, you encourage our leadership as well. And I just believe tonight's going to be a culmination of all the last 4 days of services we've had. And I believe tonight's going to be an amazing night. Pastor Rick and Kathy Chiaramatero are just a wonderful couple. I hope you understand the gifts they are to the body of Christ. They literally travel all over the world. And they help churches. They mentor churches. They're bringing life. They're bringing stability. He's overseeing major pastoral networks all across Canada, all across the United States and around the world. People actually bring them in Europe where they're just counseling them, helping them, bringing best practices to them. So these churches are growing from everything they put their hands to. We've had the privilege of knowing them now for many, many years, and I hope you understand just their apostolic hearts for the kingdom of God. And what an honor and a privilege it is to have them here in Bakken's, Ohio. They could be literally anywhere in the world today. They have more invitations than they can honor. And we're just thankful they took some time for their busy schedule to be with us. I also want to remind you, too, Pastor Kathy has an amazing book on the cross. Pastor Rick has, I think, 4 or 5 books out as well. Because of Canadian situation, American situation, it's hard to get the products into the United States. But you can go to their websites, and you can check them out if you're interested. I know they can get the books and products to you as well. And if you do get a book, I know you'll be blessed by it as well. But this is a couple that is not, these are not new kids on the block. They're not novices by any stretch. I believe they have 6 children, 12 grandchildren, 1 great grandchild as well. And they are just pioneers in the gospel. And we're so honored and privileged that they're here tonight. How many were here last night, got a chance to hear Pastor Rick last night? Did you enjoy that message? The man is a walking Bible. I had the privilege of having lunch with him today, and it just comes out. You could tell him a topic, and he can go over 45 scriptures with you. And I was writing notes down and taking as many notes as I possibly could because I'm going to do a deeper study when they go back to Canada at some point. But we're just so privileged. I know tonight he's got a word in season for you tonight, Only Believe, and I believe he's going to be flowing the gifts as well. So would you please give a warm Only Believe welcome to Pastor Rick Chiaramatero as he brings forth the word tonight.
We're going to be down here tonight. I love you, buddy. You mean a lot to me, man. Appreciate you. Well, stay standing for just a moment. Just tell the one next to you, you look pretty good tonight. You look a little thinner than the last time I saw you. And get your ears open because we're going to have a good night tonight. Amen? Honored that you're all here. Thank you for welcoming us Canadians there. I'm actually a dual citizen, so I married a Canadian girl over here, Kathy, but I have a Canadian passport and a U.S. passport. But the most important one is the heavens passport, and that's the one I really embrace. Amen? I'm going to do something a little different. I want you all to stand for this here part. I really felt in my prayer time a word for the house, and I don't take when I get words lightly when I had a very bad accident a few years ago, and I was at a church, actually, and it was an African church. We were just having a great time, and I was doing the final service one after the next, and then it was a huge stage and big place, and I jumped off the stage over 4 feet high, and I landed on the side of my heel, and I was doing the altar call, and so I realized something had happened. I didn't have any idea what, and I shattered my heel, and they had to put a brace in there, a steel brace, 13 screws in it, okay, in my foot. And so for me personally, it was one of the darkest seasons, so these people all were coming up and getting saved, and so the first guy that came running up, I put my arm around him, he was holding me up, and he thought I was his best friend, amen? And so a whole group got saved in the service. And the armor bearer that they had for me was very sensitive. And she said, you did damage. I could see it on the expression of your face. And Kathy said the same. So they took me to the hospital. And usually the waiting time is about 18 hours in Canada to get help, to get into emergency. That's no exaggeration. Sometimes it's up to a day and a half. It's ridiculous. And so anyway, I got in within an hour, x-rays and everything. And then they found out that I had done it, so I had to go back for orthopedic surgery. And anyway, but I'm saying all that because God gave me a word, and that word was, and you're all familiar with this here one, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagle. And this is the one that stuck out. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And every day, my wife could, I'm decreeing the word. I'm saying. And for 4 months, I could put zero weight on this here foot. I could put zero. So Kathy bought me a little knee rover, so I'm pushing this thing around with my left foot, trying to go around the house, go to the bathroom, everything you have to do. But I kept saying, I'm going to walk and I'm going to run. Your word says this, Father, I'm going to walk and I'm going to run. I looked at it in the natural, and if you looked at the foot, I got pictures of it. Eric has seen them. It literally looked like the foot of Frankenstein. I mean, Am I right? I mean, this thing was massive. It was just so swollen, just out of it. But I said, no, I'm going to walk and I'm going to run. Regardless of any report, this is what I'm going to do. So guess what? I'm able to walk and I'm able to run. Amen. Now, here's the word for Only Believe Church. Now, listen carefully. This is not just a cliche. This is not just a gig. This is not just something we do when we go into churches. Just something on my heart for this house. Isaiah 43 says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, and we learned that last night, stop everything. Something significant is here. Pay attention to it. It's actually, if you want to term it, an exclamation of surprise and wonder that literally means, have you taken it in? Do you got it? Did you get it? That's what that word behold means. And he says, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Now this is the point that jumped out. Just as the revelation of Isaiah, the one that I read to you in 40:31, walk and run, that ran out. This is the word for the house right now. He said, and rivers, he says, I will even make a road in the wilderness. I see God making new pathways into new communities that are going to be coming into the house. Okay? I see that right now. He said, I will even make a road in the wilderness. He didn't say, I'm going to make it in the sea. He didn't say, I'm going to make it in the wilderness. In that season that's just overwhelming. We've all had wilderness season, but he doesn't stop there. And he says, I'm going to bring rivers in the desert. I decree that the dry seasons are coming to an end and a new freshness is breaking forth. I decree right now that rivers are bursting forth on every front. I call in the Pishons. I call in and decree the Gishons. I call in the Hiddekels. And I call in the fruitfulness of the Euphrates to break out over Only Believe Church. I thank you, Father, for your word that you're making a road, a new pathway in the wilderness, Father, and that you're making rivers in the desert. I thank you for it now in the name of your Son, Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. I've lived in dry seasons in my life. I lived and I kept going and did everything that I knew, kept pushing through in spite of some things in my life, personal pain in my life, personal disappointments in my life, frustrations and things that you want to change and you weren't able to. And I believe that those seasons all, listen, they're seasons, and that means that they're only here for a short time, but they're going to shift. And I believe you're coming, a new season is coming in for Only Believe Church. Amen. Now, I believe you're going to see it. I believe you're going to live in it. I believe you're all going to experience it, and I believe it's going to be good, and y'all can say amen. 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 Be encouraged tonight. Let's just give God a thank offering right now. Everybody here, let's just give God a thank offering. Hallelujah. We give you thanks tonight, Father. Sanctify the altar. Sanctify the man of God's word. Sanctify the tongue. Sanctify the hearts of every one of us today. And Father, as I open up my mouth wide tonight, I trust there's things on your heart that you desire to download into the house today to bring encouragement. And there's some individuals that are here right now listen very carefully. Right now, it's just been hard. It's just been pushing. You've been in a place of intercession, standing in there, and it's just been a hard place. It's like the wall is there. I can see right now the splinters. I can see that wall breaking up. I can see that thing crashing down. Wave your hand if that's you right now. Just wave your hand at me. Wave it real high right now. I see it in the hand. I see the hands right now. I decree right now over their life that the Jericho walls are coming down. I decree the trumpet blast of Jubilee is breaking it down right now. I decree today that they're coming in to the most fruitful seasons of their entire lives, that tonight is going to shift everything of the kingdom of darkness off and bring everything of the kingdom of God in. I break that disappointment. I'm hearing Proverbs 13, and I hear it. It said, unrelenting disappointment. It makes the heart sick. But I decree the second part, but a sudden good break is going to turn it around. I speak to all those in that pathway tonight. The sudden good break is coming your way. The sudden good break is going to break it up. The sudden good break is decreed for your life. The sudden good break for your family is coming to pass. The sudden good break over your finances is being released. In Jesus' name. And everybody got a hold of it and say, yeah, that's me. Amen and amen. Hug the one next to you for a moment. Say, so glad you're at church tonight. So glad you're here, girl. Amen. So glad you're here.
Bless
you. So glad you're here. Amen. Kol shikete. Rick Shimatero, you can be seated. Rick Shimatero, over 50 years ago, was not in a good path, not in a good way. Was called of God from a young boy. And I remember the call of God by the river. They used to go by the Lake St. Clair by Michigan. And I remember taking my bike down there from maybe 6-7 years old all the way down. It was probably 4-5 miles, whatever it was, away. And I remember driving my bike down there because there was so much pain and so much hurt that was going on in the family. There was so much disruption in the home. And I remember hearing different things. The only reason we're here is because of you kids, and if it's not for you kids, we wouldn't be here. And it was just bad. And I remember just crying out to God for the help of the family. Come on now. And so I ended up going in, growing up, and had a lot of anger and a lot of issues inside. And I remember going, I was going into the seminary at Sacred Heart Seminary in Detroit, Michigan, after high school, but I had a girlfriend. And how many know in the Catholic Church you can't get married? Come on. Can't have a girl, so you can't go into training with a girlfriend. So at 18, I just went my own ways, and for 5 years, I got off the track. Got into a lot of bad stuff I'm not proud of. I don't want to get into the path that I chose to go on at that time. Messed up my life in so many different ways. And then this girl comes by that I hadn't seen in many, many years. Her name was Gracie Guzmano. And actually was at a wedding of a relative of ours. And at this here wedding, I ran into her. And Gracie was a bookie's daughter. A bookie was the one, if you're older, if you're up in your 60s, 70s, you probably remember the number rackets back there. We have, how many can remember? Okay, where you play the bets on the horse races, or you put the bets on the football games and the points and all that there thing. And so her daddy was a bookie, and my dad was one of his clients. So he would come over to the house and pick up the gambling, the money, the bets that my dad had, and sometimes he'd win and he'd pay them. And Gracie would always be there. And as a little girl growing up, she remembers, and she used to say to me all the time, Richard, she said, when I get older, you know, I'm going to be a nun. And I said, that's awesome, Grace. When I get older, I'm going to be the Pope of the Catholic Church. And this is the conversation. I said, I'm going to be the Pope of the Catholic Church. And so, you know, she said, well, Richard, that's a big aspiration. I said, yeah, great. I'm going to be the Pope of the Catholic Church one day. I says, I'm a Paisan. I'm a Sicilian. I'm going to be the Pope. And so if anybody asked me growing up, what are you going to be when you grow up? I said, I'm going to be the Pope of the Catholic Church. I'm serious. This isn't fun. This is true. This is the conversation. And so all these years go by, and I haven't seen Gracie now for probably 10 years. And so I go to this wedding, And she starts sharing a little bit about Jesus with me there. And this is when I was in that dark season for that 5 years. And when she started sharing about it, I said, Gracie, I'm really happy for it. And so anyway, she ends up coming over to the house. And she comes over to the house and she starts sharing with me about Jesus. Now, I had my Coors beer. I was under the influence. And so I wasn't in a real good frame at that there time. And I said, Gracie, I'm so happy for you that you found Jesus. I'm really happy. But I gave him that shot, and I'm not going there anymore. I'm done. And so she said, well, Richard, if you want to learn more about it, we meet on Thursday night at one of the churches in Roseville, Michigan, and it was a Catholic charismatic church. And so anyway, I said, Grace, I'm really happy for you, but I'm really not interested in it at all. And I recall, listen very carefully, on the Thursday, that's when they all meet. And so I goes in the shower, and Thursday, I says, it was my bar night. So the guys that I went to college with, Macomb County Community College, I graduated with my BA, my business degree, and I says, that's my party night. We go to the strip bars, we go out and party and have a great time. And she says, well, Richard, I want to invite you to this here church. I said, great, I'm happy for you, but I'm not interested. To make a long story short, I go in the shower that night and to get dressed and to get ready to get cleaned up. And I'm in the shower and I hear a voice. And this voice tells me, go to the prayer meeting. And it wasn't a normal voice. It was so real to me. It was so strong to me. People ask, was it audible? Was it? Listen, all I can tell you is I heard the voice. And the voice told me to go to church tonight. Go to the prayer meeting. Go there tonight. And so I came out and I yelled. And I says to my wife, I said, did you say something? And she said, what are you talking about? I says, did you tell me about going to church? She said, what are you talking about? And so it was so real and so overwhelming. So I ended up getting dressed and I called my friends and I said, guys, I says, I'm going to church tonight. And they said, you're what? I says, I'm going to church tonight. I need to go to church. And they all, they're laughing. They're saying like, are you under the influence? I said, I haven't touched it. I'm fine. I says, but I'm going to church. And I says, I got this thing that told me that I need to go to church, a voice, and I got to go to church. And so anyway, so I walks into church, and I got there early. And when I got there, the church didn't start till 8, but they had a session called Life in the Spirit. And the Life in the Spirit, the first session happened to be that week that I went, and it was about the Romans Road where God, hell's over here and God's over here and this is man in between. And it was the whole gospel that I heard for the first time really clearly in my whole life. And I actually surrendered my life to Jesus right there on the spot. Okay, that very night. I mean, it was like, it was so supernatural. It was just mind-boggling. And when I did, I actually had a vice that snapped off my head. A physical vice. It's like I felt this and it snapped off my head. And there was two people groups, I'll tell you, that I hated. I just couldn't stand them. And guess who meets me at the altar? God has a sense of humor, and I didn't push him away. It was like mind-boggling. And so anyway, to make a long story short, that was the beginning of my journey of faith. I came home that night. And I had some black market businesses. I'm ashamed to tell you what they're all about. But I had them. And God told me to get rid of all the paraphernalia, get rid of everything that I had. And I filled up literally two large garbage bags worth of stuff. And there was a lot of money in there. And I made a clean break from the stuff that I never heard a sermon, never heard a message. But the same voice that told me to go is the same voice that told me to get rid of that stuff. And I remember the wife coming home that day and she said, what are you doing? I says, I got saved tonight. I'm getting rid of it. She said, well, you could sell it. You can make a fortune. I said, no, I got to get rid of it. It's going down. It's going in the garbage. It's all going out. I got into the Word of God. I read Smith Wigglesworth. And I got into the Word of God, and I stopped all news. I stopped all sports. I stopped everything that I was in other than spending time with the wife and family. And I got into God's Word 10 to 12 hours a day. I couldn't get enough of the Bible. I still have this day the same passion for God's Word all these years later. I can't get enough of it. Can you say amen? And so for 10 to 12 hours, and then within a year, they had me speaking in the church. Within a year, at the Catholic church, within a year. Now, it says over there, don't put a novice in a place of authority in there. And if you look at that, it speaks about a newly planted individual. And I'm not here to make excuses for that at all, but the anointing was hitting me. And then the elders of the group come and they say, there's a call on your life. There's a call. And I said, no. I said, I don't want anything. I'm just happy. I just want to usher. I just want to set up the book table. That's all I'm interested in. They said, no, we believe that you're supposed to lead the youth. And I said, no, I don't want to do anything. I can't get in front of people. Unless I'm under the influence of alcohol, I can't talk. I can't speak. So I don't want any of that. And they said, no, we really believe. And so I'm arguing with them for weeks. I'm sitting, every time I go to church, they tell me that, you got to get this. We want you to lead the youth ministry. And I said, I can't do that. I just can't. They said, well, you need to try it. So I says, okay. So I finally gave in and I says, okay, on one condition, that Gracie Guzmano comes up with me, that girl that led me to Christ. So I gets up there the first time and I got the youth, and I think there was probably maybe 15, 20 of them that were there. We grew it to 88 in just over a year, and God just blessed it. And many of those kids asked me to marry them years later and became very close with all their families. But I was so nervous and I was so petrified that I needed somebody up there with me in the front. And I would literally go to the pulpit and I would open my mouth and it just took off. It just like, what is going on? I just would start speaking. And when I finished up, Gracie would say, you don't need me up here. And I said, no, I need you. I can't do this alone. She said, I'm not doing anything but standing there looking stupid. And I said, God, Gracie, I can't do this alone. And it was during that season that I'm leading in that I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, Rick, I'm with you. I'm with you. You don't need grace. You don't need, I am with you and I am alongside you. You don't have to worry any longer. And that day, the revelation of the temple of the Holy Ghost became real. And I'm just a year old in the Lord, I'm telling you. And I've never questioned it ever since that day, that the presence of the Holy Ghost was there, and everybody said amen. Amen. Now, why am I bringing this? I'm just going to introduce this, and I'm not even sure where this is all going to go tonight, but I really feel this here. In all my years of ministry, I've heard literally thousands and thousands of tapes. You guys had cassette tapes, you remember them there? And then the old DVD and all those there. And so I listened to thousands of them. I mean, when I was working at the Mid Produce Company in the back of the trucks, I would take all the routes that nobody else would want. And they said, like, Metro Stores was the A&P stores. And I would take those routes because you'd literally have your load of your produce there and you're delivering it. But it would take literally 2 to 5 hours to get in there. Okay? And you pull one to the next, and you finally get there. And so I told my boss, Sam, by the way, I led 10 of the 13 to Christ at the workplace that I worked with. Come on now. God had me there. The 11th one came in on his deathbed, and he was dying, and my dad calls me and says, hey, Bobby Caparata's on his deathbed. And he says, Rich, I think you need to go see him. And my dad wasn't even saved at that time. And I said, well, what's up? He says, so anyway, I remember going into the hospital to see Bobby. And I witnessed to him for probably 3 years and told him about Jesus and everything else. He said, Ricky, he says, I was born Catholic, going to die Catholic, and you ain't never going to change me. I said, Bobby, you need God. It's not about the church. It's about a relationship. And he didn't want to hear anything. So anyway, he's dying of cancer. And my dad calls me and says, you need to go in there. This is the 11th guy, and you need to go see him. So I had a speaker that came into my church, so I took him off to the airport. He got the last flight out from Detroit Metro and dropped him off at the airport. And on the way home, I felt the Holy Ghost to go now to the hospital. By this time, it was almost 8:30, so I go to St. John's Hospital over in Detroit, Michigan, and everything shuts down, over there at 7, 8 o'clock. And so I had to go to emergency, and I says, in emergency, I got a pair of shorts on, and I got a T-shirt, and I'll never forget it. The T-shirt had a tombstone on it and said, don't be caught dead without Jesus. Okay. And so I walks in to the emergency. Okay. And the guy looks at me and he says, can I help you? And I said, I got to go visit the patient. He said, well, visiting hours are over, sir. And I said, yeah, but I'm a pastor. And he looked at me, he said, you're a pastor? And I said, yeah, I pastor over in Windsor, Ontario. And I said, I got to go see this guy tonight. And he said, what's your name? I said, Pastor Rick Cimitero. He said, Cemetery. He said, do you know Sal and Ann Cemetery? I said, that's my daddy. He said, we're Gumbadis, okay? So anyway, the Bomarito family. So anyway, so we got talking, and anyway, so he gives me a pass, and I go up there. And by this time now, it's just a little bit around 9 o'clock, a little bit after, and all the lights are down in the hallway. And so I walks into the room, and guess what I see? Bobby sitting up in a chair. The guy that I had witnessed, he's sitting up in a chair, and he's reading a little booklet from Grand Rapids, Michigan called Daily Bread. Okay, and he said, this is what Ricky was talking about. This is the message he was telling me about. And he's reading it right there, and I walk into the room.
Yeah, that's good.
And I said, Bobby, I want you to know I'm on an assignment from heaven. God told me to come. Sal called me and told me to come. And so anyway, he gave his life to Jesus. Yeah. He got gloriously saved. He asked forgiveness for everything. And guess what? His brother comes to visit him at 7 a.m. in the morning before he went to the Detroit Union Produce Terminal. And he said, Sam, he said, Ricky came last night and I gave my life to Jesus and I got born again. Come on. Sam was crying because he was one of my first converts down there. And guess what happened then? The next hour he dies. Goes home to be with Jesus. I want you to know how much God cares about lost people, folks. I got another one. I can tell stories. I got to get back to the one. Come on. And the 10 guys that we'd led to Christ, and that was number 11. And so God put me on this pathway of reaching souls. I found out that he loves sinners much more than I do. And I remember there was one out there, my godfather. And when I went to Florida, Naples, Florida, I went to visit my aunt down there. And my Uncle Tony had been in the dementia ward for a couple of years at this time. He had lost his mind completely, and he was in there. And Aunt Catherine was so frustrated, and she said that Uncle Tony could pick the locks and get out of that place. He knew how to do it to get out of there. And then he'd be gone for a couple of days. They didn't know where he was. And nobody knew anything about where he was. And they find him and put him back. And so they had to have guards there with him. And so anyway, he was completely gone. And I remember taking my wife, and all we did was pray in tongues. We prayed in the spirit. And when we got to the nursing home, the place that he was at, the dementia ward over in a suburb of Michigan. And when we got there, Kathy's a witness of everything I'm saying. My aunt meets us at the door, and we go in, and they bring the security in, and they bring my uncle out. And he sits right to me, right where this lady's at, and he starts babbling off his military numbers, the serial numbers when he was in the military from all the years before. And I'm like praying in the spirit, just like, okay. And all of a sudden, Kathy's a witness. He comes in his right mind instantly in front of us. He shifts into his right mind, and he looks and he says, Richard, Kathy, my dear Catherine, where am I? What are you doing here? I said, Uncle Tony, I'm on an assignment from heaven. God's given you an opportunity. And I led him to Christ right there. He broke down. He forgave, and he was forgiven. And he comes up to me. He said, Richard, but you know about this? I said, Uncle Tony, our sins are bad, but God forgives all of them. It's all done. It's all taken care of. And he gets gloriously saved. Are you ready? That's the God that we serve. The next day, Uncle Tony dies. The next day. You talk about the mercy of God. The next day. I go to the funeral, and he owned all the big Masco funeral chains all over Michigan. And that was one of his businesses. And I go in, and the FBI's there, and the CIA, and all these guys are taking pictures. I said, Kathy, smile. Everybody says, what kind of family are you involved with? I said, they're all nuts, okay? So don't ask me why I'm sharing all this tonight. And so my aunt sees me when I come to the door after being in line. And you got to go up and down and around and up and then to another room. Another hour and 15, maybe an hour and a half. And my aunt comes up to me and she says, he's here. He's here. And I say, who's he here? And it's me. He said, Richard, he's here. And so she brings me out of the line, brings Kat, and said, this is Richard. He prayed for Uncle Tony, and then he died the next day. And I says, oh, great. Anybody want me to pray for you? A lady comes up to me. She says, my husband, pray he died too. And I'm like, oh, my God, what did I get into now? Okay. I say all that because I look at my life and I look at the significance and the things that God has done today. From a guy that didn't want to preach, a guy that didn't want to be in the line, guy that didn't want to be in the front. All I wanted to do was be a doorkeeper. All I wanted to do was catch people in the prayer line. I had a reputation. I dropped more than I caught because my ADD would catch in, and I'm like going over, and bang, they hit the floor. I found out that the only reason you have catchers in the church is because of the fakes. If somebody gets knocked down and God knocks them down, how many know he's big enough to take care of them? I'll say it again. If they get knocked down, he's big enough. Amen? After dealing with lawsuits and things over the years, some stupid stuff out there. And so I say all that there because I learned to hear the voice. The voice that said, go to the prayer meeting. The voice that said, get rid of all the paraphernalia. The voice that led me into speaking in tongues. I learned all this here. And in Raymond, when I was there, there was one message that I remember. And my favorite course was Blood Covenant, but it wasn't that one. I loved all the teaching that we had on the Old Testament survey and New Testament. I went to 2 years to Rhema Bible Training Center. But there was only one message today that I can remember the entirety of that message, and I really felt led to share that with you tonight. And it's when Dr. Cho came in from Korea to Rhema Bible Training. I got to meet him over in Louisville at the prayer center over there with Kathy many, many years later, and before he had passed away. And when Cho came in to Rhema that day, he shared something with the student body that literally was the greatest revelation and the simplicity of the gospel that I ever heard on the baptism of the Spirit and the fullness of life in Christ. It was just mind-boggling what he had shared that day. I've had the opportunity to go to his church in Seoul, Korea. Kathy and I were there about 3 years ago. And when we also went to the memorial that they built for Dr. Cho, we had the chance to visit there. They had his study, they had his library, his table, the place where he prayed, and it was in Prayer Mountain. So it was a very moving time when we were over there. But the point that Cho brought out that day was so simple. I'll never forget it. The first thing that he said, he says, get to know the Holy Spirit as a person. And it was just so, now you got to understand, I came from a Catholic background out there. And, you know, every church that I ever went in, they all had the windows. Come on now. How many know what I'm talking about? They all had the windows. They had all this different stained glass. They had rivers coming up and waters and all these different symbology. They had oil. They had lamps. And so when I heard about the Holy Spirit in my prior knowledge, only 5 years or 6 years before I went to Rhema, whatever it was, I remember that I knew the Holy Spirit, but it was never a person, the Holy Spirit. And when he spoke that day, he just unloaded and he said, get to know the Holy Spirit, not as a bird, not as an emblem, not as oil, not as dove, not as a river. Get to know the Holy Spirit as a person. It arrested me. It stopped me in my tracks that day. And I was like, wow, that he can go home right now. What he just said was enough to take it over completely. Come on now. And so I remember learning right there that day, the Holy Spirit is a person. And then he goes right after it, because in case you don't know this here, I know, Eric, we were talking about this a little bit. I don't know if you're aware, Barna is a researchologist, and he has done studies in the Christian community on just about every topic on churches and the belief systems that we have. And he's the one that found out that about 10% of all believers have what we call a biblical Christian worldview. Okay, if you look at everything. And one of the things that he said, it was mind-boggling to me, okay, was that 59% of Christians do not believe in a literal devil. That's almost 60% of Christians do not believe in a literal devil. Well, how many know Jesus warned us about that? He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. And he said another one, beware of the leaven of the Herodians. Okay? And Kathy always puts me in check on that because Herodians were all the political things, and we can get so caught up in the political aspect that we miss the other aspect. Come on. And so he said the Sadducees didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in demons. Come on now. They didn't believe in the supernatural. They came to a place they didn't even believe in the miraculous at all. And so 59% of all believers in the evangelical, if you want to call it community, they don't believe in that. And then listen, when they did the study on the Holy Spirit, they found out that 40% of all believers don't believe in the person of the Holy Spirit. Another 19% believe that, and they believe that he's an emblem. They believe it's just a type or something else. They don't. Well, apparently they don't know the Bible at all. Come on. Because the Bible says in Luke 3, the Holy Spirit descended upon the Son of God in bodily appearance. So the Holy Spirit has a body. The Holy Spirit has a voice. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Come on now. This can't be an emblem. So that tells me that there's an incredible amount of biblical illiteracy in the church world. We're not talking about the unbelievers. We're talking about in the church world. So he said 40% do not even believe in the person of the Holy, and another 19% somewhat agree with the 40% that the Holy Spirit is just an emblem or a bird. Come on. That day, it broke that whole stronghold off of my life. Can you say amen? Amen. He just broke it. And then the second thing, and I'll never forget it, he said, daily take time to commune with the Holy Spirit. I never heard of that. I never heard that in my life. Commune, have partnership, have sharing, have fellowship. I like to say to my Italian heritage, have cappuccino with the Holy Spirit. Okay, I did a wedding just recently, and it was the first wedding, and it was a pastor's son of mine up in Brampton. We did the wedding in Whitby, Ontario, and Kathy was with me to witness it. And this little girl, when she was 12 years old, 13, whatever, she said, Pastor, when I get older, I want you to marry me. I said, honey, when that time comes, I'll be happy to marry you. Well, 20 years later, she reminds me, okay? And so I'm not doing weddings, but because I gave my word, I had to do it. And so this couple over here, Randy, they're serving cappuccino instead of communion.
Oh my!
They're
gosh.
Having cappuccino that's over so there. Okay, I'm serious, and I'm like, okay, you're a pastor, everything's all good, and they're great people. Are y'all with me? So I learned something that day, that the Holy Spirit take time every day to walk and to talk with the Holy Spirit. Take time to listen to the Holy Spirit, to listen to his voice. The Holy Spirit has downloads. The Holy Spirit has information that he wants to share. He loves to talk. And in my early days, I remember doing most of the talking when I prayed. And then after Cho that day, he said, take more time to listen and to wait for God to speak than just to rush it and do all the talking. Changed my life. I mean, this is going back, folks, this is going back into 1980, okay? And so that's 46 years ago. And so then he comes up and he shared the whole thing about the communion with the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing that he said, and I'll never forget it, he said, the success of your ministry, the success of your journey of faith with God is going to be directly determined by the time that you had spent with God. Come on. So he attributed success not to numbers. He attributed success not to a big church. He attributed success not to how many souls God saved, but he attributed the success to the focal point of taking that time, not just to commune with the Holy Ghost, but to wait, to listen, and then see what it is that he was speaking to do. And the final thing that day that he shared with us, that I'll never forget it, he says, pray in tongues every day. I can't tell you how many believers that I know today in the church world don't speak in tongues. And I'm talking charismatics. I'm talking Pentecostals. They did it. They had an experience years ago, but many of them don't don't pray in the Holy Ghost today. They don't use their heavenly language. They don't charge their spiritual batteries. People ask me, where do you get your energy? Where do you get your passion? Where do you get that from? I says, hello, it's with the Holy Ghost. I pray in tongues every day for 50 years, 57. I've been praying in the Holy Spirit, come on now, over 50 years. I don't let a day go by because I charge my spiritual batteries and I wait on God. I wait on the Holy Spirit to speak. I wait on the Holy Spirit to communicate everything we do. My leadership got a hold of it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, listen, was given to you to have the advantage in life. See, when Pentecost came, we had the upper hand from that day to this day. You and I have the upper hand. Can you all say amen? So listen, if you haven't been, and I felt when I was praying that there, I actually saw something. Kathy went out for a few hours, and I was just back there and just resting and just praying in the Spirit, just praying in the Spirit. And I actually saw some rust on some believers' lives that are here tonight. And the Holy Ghost was saying it's time to put the WD-40 and remove that rust today to get the oil, come on, back on there. And the rusty areas of your prayer life that have just been frozen up and just seized up. And the Holy Ghost wants to just break that off of you tonight. Can you all say amen? Everybody stand for a minute. We haven't started tonight. I'm just introducing. I don't know where I'm all going, but I'm having fun. Amen. Amen. Everybody just bow your head for a moment. I won't call you to the front. I don't think that's necessary here today. But we're going to just all pray in the Holy Ghost in a minute, okay? But if that's you, I want you just to wave your hand at me and just thank you, 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 thank you. Put them all down. Okay, wow. Way more than I expected. Okay. Now I'm going to say one other thing. If you felt that God was touching you and really speaking to you, and people responded all over the sanctuary, I never would try to express evangelistically and say there was 40 when there was 5, okay? But I could tell you there was a lot, okay, that went up. But I believe one other call. Put your heads down. If you were supposed to put your hand up, you just didn't do it. Okay, that's because of the rust that's really deep in your life. I want you to wave your hand at me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, let's all release it right now. Come on, pray in your heavenly language, everybody in the room. Father, we take right now, we take your Spirit, and we just apply the oil of gladness over their life. We just reconnect tonight that living water. We reconnect tonight that connection place with you in the Spirit. And we just put the charger once again on the spiritual batteries, Father God. Those batteries that have been off and on and off and on. We thank you, Lord God. There's going to be a permanent charge. We thank you, Lord. There's going to be a refreshing. Come on, let it out loud. In Canada, they pray louder than this. Come on. I loose the tongues. I loose the scales. I loose it off of their bodies. In the name of Jesus, I loose the tongues to honor you today. I thank you for even those that had a trickle. They're having a full river, Father God. The hidikel is bursting out. I thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we release the assignment of darkness. We release the heaviness off of their life. And we bind them to the mind of God, the purposes of God, the voice of God, the downloads of heaven. And we loose every hindering spirit off of their life from this moment forward. Be scattered, be shattered by the blood of Jesus. And everybody agreed, said amen. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We're going to talk for a few moments today on what it is that God sees in what we see. What God sees is oftentimes very different than what we see. There's a principle in the Word of God, and we've been hitting it a little bit last night and today just a bit on behold, about our focus on there, about seeing what it is that God sees. See, when it speaks of a heavenly vision, we know this. I'm sure Pastor Nicole has taught on that. Vision literally is four comprised elements, and it's the ability to see what it is that God sees. And the second is the faith to believe that what God showed you, what you see, He's able to do. And then it's the courage to act on what God has showed you that you believe. And the tenacity, the perseverance to stick with it till that promise comes in. That's why I shared about the 14 weeks without nothing but seeing the Word of God. But then in all those things of the heavenly, I saw myself walking. I saw myself running. And guess what? I'm walking and I'm running now. Okay. But it just didn't happen overnight. But that's what the vision is over there. So it's the ability to see what it is that God sees. See, in the Bible, there was a man, and his name was Gideon, and he was very frustrated because he was living in Midian, and Midian literally means strife. It literally means contention because they got away from the prophetic will of God for their lives. They started living life, and they started going on a slippery slope. And so the time that God comes down to Gideon, he sees himself as inferior. He sees himself as weak. He sees himself as the least in his household. He sees himself as overcome. He sees himself with no hope. He sees no future. He heard about the miracles that God had done, but he didn't even believe that they were possible once again. He was in a deep state of depression. You know, in my nation today, they have told us now from the medical that 40% of Canadians are suffering from mild depression today. 40%. That's 4 out of every 10 people in the nation are suffering from mild, some of them more severe, but mild depression. Will just be kind when we say that there. And there's a heaviness. And what we realize out there is they tell you when you pull your head back, you actually hit the creativity of your brain starts kicking into gear. And it breaks all depression off of your life because creativity juices are now flowing. Come on. Out of here, just by keeping your head back. John Maxwell even brings that out in his book. He has what he calls his creative chair. He just sits back and sits in there. And you know what? Whenever any heaviness is trying to get in, I just kick my head back and start tapping in to the creative juices of God to flow in to Rick Cimitero and then begin to prophesy to myself, speak to my, come on now. Speak to myself in song. Speak to myself in hymn. Speak to myself in spiritual. See, depressed people are never looking up. They're always looking down because they're connected with their deepest emotion. And if those emotions were damaged or the emotions were hurt, they're connected directly with that. Are you with me right now? So what it is that God sees and what we see. So Gideon, he sees himself overwhelmed. He sees himself with no future. He sees himself. He'd go and plant the crops, okay? And then the Midianites would come in on camels and steal everything that they had. It's interesting, when God visited him, he was at the bottom of the wine press. What are you doing at the bottom? That's where the scraps of the grapes are at. And he was trying to just save enough to bring home for his family to put some food on the table. And God visits him, and he comes in, and he says, "Oh, mighty man of valor." Can you say amen? God looked at Gideon and said, "Oh, mighty man of valor." And it's actually the Hebrew word Gibor, and it's the same name that God uses for himself as the champion, as the warrior, as the winner of all battles. Come on now. And he spoke to Gideon's DNA and said, "This is how I see you. This is what the assignment is for your life. You're a champion, Gideon. You're a warrior, Gideon. You're an overcomer, Gideon." And you know, the Bible tells you and I today in 1 John 5, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You know, in your DNA is an overcoming nature right now. It is not, it's unnatural, and it is not your nature to lose in life. We all go through battles in life, but it's not our nature. Your DNA that God has put inside you was meant to overcome the obstacles of life. Just like when they afflicted the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 1, verse number 12. It said the more that they afflicted them, the more that they brought hardship, the more that they began to increase, the more that they multiply. Afflictions are meant to hinder you, but God uses them as springboard to bring us in to the greatness he has. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, a great open door, an effectual open door, a mega open door, a huge open door is before me. And there are many adversaries. The many adversaries are the confirmation that you're in the center of the will of God. Amen. And God's called us to kick devil butt. Come on. So I went to this, and I began to see something. I looked in Genesis and 30, and Laban and Jacob were together. And it's time for him to go back home to dad and start his family, bring Rachel and bring Leah with him. And Laban said, no, 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 you've made me rich. You've helped me to prosper. He said, I don't want you to go. He said, no, I'm going. I'm leaving. I'm done. And so he says, okay. He says, what can I pay you to keep you? He said, nothing. He said, I don't want any money. He said, just give me the spotted sheep, the ones you don't want. Give me the ones that are labeled. Give me the black sheep. Give me them. And he says, I'll take them with me as my pay. And he says, Laban says, okay. And so that same day, you can read this in Genesis 30. I don't have time to go there. But in Genesis 30, the same day, Laban goes and he takes all the spotted sheep and speckled sheep out. Come on.
Yeah.
Takes them all. Am I correct, Pastor? He takes them all out of the pen. And he gives them to his other sons who had farms, herd farms in other areas. And Jacob doesn't get bitter. Jacob doesn't get upset. Jacob hits the creative strategies of God. And he comes up and he says, okay. He took them all out. He says, when those cows and when those sheep and those goats go and they get on to produce and to multiply, he said, they do it at the watering trough. So all the cows go in there and all the sheep and all the goats there will go in there. And so all the strong ones, all the mighty males, all the healthy ones, he takes a piece of poplar tree and he cuts it and makes white strips. And he puts it up right there in the watering trough. And the sheep are going at it and they're looking at this thing. Whoa, whoa. And guess what? They birth all the speckled and spotted sheep.
Yeah.
Which tells me something about us. The seeing is the prelude to the becoming of what God has for you.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself as a giant slayer? Do you see yourself as a warrior for God? See, too much of the church is stuck in the Lamb of God. Folks, he's not coming back as the Lamb of God. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Too much of the church has been on the defensive. We're just going to hold the fort to the rapture. And God's saying it's time to aggress. It's time, man, it's the greatest time in history to bring souls into the kingdom of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So they did it, and then I started studying. And I found out that our pathways that are in our brain, I started reading on it and started studying the subject. And I found out that there's pathways there that people go into that is a bent, a sway that they go into of negativity. A bent, a sway of fear, a bent or sway of insecurity, a bent or a sway of jealousy, a bent or a sway. And they're prone because that's a well-paved pathway that's in their brain. But the good news is the Word of God will create a new pathway over all the old ones. Come on now. And totally obliterate the old one, and all things are new now on the inside. Are y'all with me? And that's where I want to start today. Your brain slowly copies what it repeatedly sees and what it repeatedly hears. That's why you hear me say this often, okay? Thanksgiving is not just a terminology or a day that we celebrate here in November. We celebrate it in Canada in October. Thanksgiving is one of the most powerful weapons that God has given you and I today. The Bible says it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Too many are calling upon his name, but they don't understand that thanksgiving sanctifies the atmosphere for that name to have the effect that it has. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pastor Randy shared it about the 10 lepers out there. Only one came back and gave thanks. Guess what? He was the one that not only got cleansed of the disease, but he got healed of the disease. I've been in Culiacan. I've been in the leper county. I've been there when they're just nubs. I've been there when their eyes are out of the socket. I've been there when they've had no eye. I've been there and seen the individuals what leprosy does out there, but this leper that came back with thanksgiving gave thanks, and he was made whole. Can you say amen?
Amen?
See, if you watch the secular news and you meditate more and behold more of what the news says out there, then I'm going to tell you what, you're going to become just like that. I started off tonight about what happened with Smith Wigglesworth, how it had such an impact upon my life. I didn't tell you that when the Catholic Church had 10 weeks of the Life in the Spirit seminar and had all the foundations, and on the eighth week they always prayed for the baptism and the Holy Spirit in there. I didn't tell you this here, but I went 5 times in the first year that I got born again. And the teachers would say, "What do you, Rick, you already went through." I said, "Yeah. But what you said, this is foundation, and I want to make sure that foundation in my life is so strong and so stable that years to come and decades to come, I'm going to be." And they looked at me and they says, "Okay, okay." And then I come back a third time, and then I came back a fourth time, and for 1 year, I went all the way every week. Can you all say amen? For probably the first 5 years, I never read a newspaper. Wouldn't watch a news station. Even to this day, my wife can tell you, she was just in Vancouver last week for 5 days out there. I never turned the TV on one time. I don't like what's on. I don't like the news. I don't like what's on there. And so I'd rather not argue with them about what's true and what's false and just enjoy God. And everybody said amen. Amen. See, every day you're creating pathways in your mind. You're creating pathways in your brain that will literally shape with your future. See, what I'm sharing tonight is overcomers hang with other overcomers. Your pastors are overcomers. Come on. Through great obstacles, they've overcame, okay? They're not quitters. They don't, when the pressure comes on, they don't just run, okay? Why? Because they're real biblical shepherds and they care about you and they care about us. Can you all say amen?
Amen.
So when I started looking at this here about the overcomer nature around the inside of me, it started changing everything that I did. What you behold repeatedly, okay, is what strengthens the mental pathways in your mind. The more that you repeat something, the stronger and the faster it becomes. And here in the negative, it works the same way. When bitterness is there, what do? You're rehearsing what they did. You're going over and over and over. If you're still going over it, my friends, I shared last night, it's time to put that stuff in the shredder and get rid of it. And everybody agreed, yeah. Said amen.
Amen.
So let's just go and cover a few little things about this in the scripture. How many know there was a woman in the Bible, and we know that she was over at Zarephath, and she was a widow. And the apostle Elijah, he gets an assignment to go to the widow. He said, "Go to Zarephath," and he said, "I'm going to show you there." So he goes into the city and he comes in through the gates and he sees a woman that's there, and she's having a bad hair day, man. It's tough. She's on her last meal, her and her son. And by the way, it wasn't just her son. There was others that were inside of her household. You can read that in verse number 5. I was blown away when I saw that. Okay. And so when the woman was there, she had her son and they were going to have their last meal. And all she saw that day was a little. All she saw was the last meal. All she saw was the end. And the prophet comes in and says, hey, give me a little of that first, honey, and then you take it for you and your son. And then guess what happened? That little bit that she gave, because God saw not just a little, God saw abundance. Come on now. God saw more than enough. God saw increase. God saw overflow. And guess what? He did exactly that. Where the cruse of oil and the little meal, it never wore out through that whole time of the famine. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
So what God saw was small, but what God saw was mega. What she saw was very little. And then we know another story in 2 Corinthians. You can go to all these here. 2 Kings 4 about the widow of Obadiah. In case you don't know who Obadiah is, I believe this is who it is when it's speaking of there. Because she comes up to the prophet and she's mad. She's upset at him. She said, "My husband, man, he feared God. My husband cared. He was the one that took their bread. He was the one that took the water to the prophets that Ahab had wiped out all of them, and he took them and hid them in caves. He had 50 in one cave and 50 in another. And the man, listen, took everything he had, and he borrowed money to feed the prophets that were there. So when he came to the prophet Elijah, he said, listen, my husband was a man. He feared God. Now he's dead. Now the creditors have come, and they're going to take my boys. They're going to take his kids. They're going to take my kids away and put us all in slavery." And the prophet says, hey, go and borrow all the jugs, man. Go and get the jugs. And she said, "What do you got in the house? A little bit of cruise oil." She said, "Okay, go and get that cruise of oil. Bring it." and tell your boys to go borrow every jug they could find. Find everyone in the community and bring it into the house. So they brought him into the house. And the prophet goes and he starts pouring from a little jar, starts pouring it in, and he fills up one whole barrel. Come on now. And then he goes to the next one and fills up the other barrel. Come on. And then he goes to the next one and starts filling up the next barrel. And then he goes to the next one. And then finally, every barrel is filled up. Are you with me right now? And he says, okay, go and sell this. Keep the rest. Eat it, drink it, sell it, use it for your family. Everything's all taken care of. So what she saw was nothing, but what God saw was more than enough. Can you say amen? And see, what I've learned about is we don't have to try to push ourselves out there for God to make something happen. I'd rather be an unknown in the kingdom, because the Bible tells us in the Message Bible, in the book of Romans 12:11, make friends of the nobodies and don't try to be the great somebody. Why? Because in the kingdom, the nobodies are somebody. Come on now. And that means every one of you in this room is of great significance to God. Every one of you is great importance to God. There's some of you that have been standing in the gap. There's some of you, the intercessors are already back there, but there's others you that have interceded, and you stood up and you've held up Pastor Nicole's hand even in through the storms of life. And guess what? She's here today because you're a somebody in God. God doesn't look at nobody. He sees somebody inside you. He sees significance in you. He sees royalty in you. He sees favor in you. He sees forgiveness in you. He sees his love in you. He sees his compassion in you. He sees his holiness in you. He sees his righteousness in you. He sees things a little bit different than the way you might see those things today. See, so oftentimes, I remember a man came to my church. He was a pauper. He looked like a pauper. Pastor Randy, this guy had nothing. He drove a Ford Fiesta, and it had rust on its side. It literally had rust. I don't know how old that Ford Fiesta was, and he wore brown polyester pants. The same pants every day, every week, to church. He had one shirt that I saw, never saw the same shirt, and he had a plaid sport coat. And the man comes into me, and he says, Pastor Rick, I'm pastoring for 3 years. My church is breaking out. My church had become pretty much the number one in the community. God was adding. God was blessing. It was multiplying. Things are going well. And he says, Pastor, I need an appointment with you. I said, okay, what's up? He says, well, God's given me a revelation on seed time and harvest and the Samaritan's purse, and I need to explain it to you. And I'm looking at him. I'm saying, he going to teach me? I'm just saying, this is in my mind. But I honored him, and I said, you know what? Come on in, friend. I loved him. And the man came in. He had his brown pants. He had the same sport coat, the same thing, on a weekday that he had the other. So I thought, maybe the guy's so poor he only got one set of clothes. I honestly didn't know. And I'm sitting there on my couch in my office, and he's on the love seat, and he starts unpacking laws that I never heard about. And he said, Pastor, I just want you to know, I give 100% of everything I make to the gospel. I looked at him. I said, 100%? How do you live? He said, I made a few investments over the years. And he said, but everything I make, he says, I take whole estates and I sell whole estates. So give $1 million estates and sell them and get off and make 100-some thousand and give it right to the gospel. And I'm like, this guy, he so humbled me, broke the snot out of the pride at that time. Okay, and you look at him, and he's like, he's got nothing, but yet he had everything. And he started sharing those principles, and he used the story of the Good Samaritan, and said, when he comes back, he's going to pay you back everything, and double, and he started sharing these things. And I says, what does he want? He said, Pastor, he says simply, he said, take care of the poor in the community and take care of world missions. And he said, if you do these two things, Pastor, he said, God is going to bring resources into this church like you never seen, like you can never believe. Yeah. And here's a guy. And so why am I bringing out him? I look just like when Samuel went to the house, the most insignificant one was the one that God used. Okay? And they thought, oh, the Abinadab, all these here other brothers, the warriors, the one that had trained in the, they're surely going to be God's anointed. And Sammy said, no, bring the next one. And Sammy goes and says, hey, is there anybody else? He says, well, yeah, we got one. He's probably illegitimate. We don't know that 100%, but he said he was conceived in sin. And so anyway, to make a long story short, he said, truly, this is the Lord's anointed. So how God saw things and how we see things are oftentimes very, very different. Are you with me? And so that man, Milo, by the way, became a dear friend of mine over the years. So I started learning the things and operating in those things that he taught me. And I'm telling you, man, the churches began to multiply in finances like crazy. When we turned and transitioned over, we had 50 acres of property in a prime area already paid for. Can you say amen? We had 130,000 square foot building, 100% paid for. We had a benevolent center, another 17,000 with an upstairs on top, completely paid for. We had a parking lot completely paid for everything, for the benevolent. And then we put a treatment center up for drug addicts and women struggling with alcohol and drug addiction, completely paid for. Now, why do I say that today? I can take no credit. It was that man that taught me. What he taught me stuck with me all these years. I remember going with him, and he's in the church, and he says, Pastor, I need you for a minute. I said, what's up, Milo? He says, well, he says, that woman over there, she's 3 months behind in salary. I said, what, 3 months behind in her payment for her rent? I said, how you know that? He says, the Holy Spirit spoke that. I says, okay. So he pulls me a wad of cash out. I said, at first, I said, this guy's got to work for the mob. Everything's all cash. Okay. So he hands me $10,000. I'm not lying. And so I don't take the money, so I gave it to my armor. Never touched the money, never take an envelope, never nothing. But I gave it to my armor bearer, and I said, go take it over, Ken. And so Kenny took it over to him, and this woman just melts down, and she starts crying. She says, they were evicting me this weekend. And she says, I'm 3 months behind on my rent, and now it's all paid. And so I hung with this guy. Can you say amen? So why am I saying that? Who you hang with is what you're going to become like. Uh-huh. See, you hang around a whiner, you're going to be a diner in hell. Come on. But you hang around one that gives thanks, it's going to get on you. It's going to be. So I got to tell you this story, Red. You're going to laugh your head off, Pastor McGope. So a few years later, he's 86 and 85 or 86, and his wife dies. And so a couple years after this, he comes up to me and he says, hey, Pastor, he says, I need a favor from you. I says, Milo, what's up, man? He says, you know, I'm marrying Helen. And Helen was a spinster. She lost her husband, and he died, and she was 85 years old. So the two of them started getting sweet, and they fell in love, and they were getting married, okay? So he says, I go to your leader, the one Pastor Luke took care of the marriage and the family. And we had a policy back then. If you were married before, you had to go through 10 weeks of counseling for the marriage, and then you go through 10 weeks of counseling because you're blending families and all that other stuff together. And so he comes into me and he says, Pastor, I really need a favor. I said, Milo, what's that? He's 87 at this time, I think, now 80. And so I said, what's that? He says, Pastor, I need a favor. Can you marry me soon? I said, what's up? He said, well, Luke told me I have to wait 20 weeks to get married. He says, I could be dead in 20 weeks. Will you at least let me die happy? I said, my gosh, this guy is out there, man. And so I said, go get the license, dude. Come on in. I'll marry you tomorrow. He did die a few years later, but he died happy. And amen. Him and Helen were just incredible individuals in the church. And everybody said amen and amen. I can go on and on. But what I want you to leave you with tonight is you're a winner by nature. It's already in your DNA. What do you want for your children as a father, as a mother? You want your children to succeed. You want them to be blessed. You want them to win the battles of life. How much more our Heavenly Father? Can you all say amen? I can go on and just say what God sees is very different than what you see. And see, when we approach the last days today, so many people are looking for a beat up church. They're looking for a church just holding in and just holding the fort. And you know, I'm sorry, but honestly, I don't see that in any way. I don't see that in any shape and form. I saw in the Bible, he's coming back for a glorious church. Okay, what is a glorious church? It's a splendor church. A church, listen very carefully, that's full. A church that's breaking out. A church that's vibrant. A church that's energetic. A church that's full of the very life of God. A church that has the joy of the Lord. Yeah. Are there challenging times ahead of us? Yeah, but your attitude before the challenges come will determine the outcome when you're in the challenges. And so keep the right attitude above all. Amen? So this is what I want to close with. I want to close with this here. The Bible says rejoice always. How many know that's not easy to do? Because you're like me, we don't feel like rejoicing. But God says rejoice always. Then he says pray without ceasing, always keeping an attitude of praying. And I'm like, okay. Now just so you understand, when he's saying all this, the context of this is the day of the Lord. The Bible says, you can read this in 1 Thessalonians 5 where I'm at, and he teaches us over there about the day of the Lord. He said, but you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. How many know 1 Thessalonians 5, 7? Then he gives 22 admonitions for you and I about being watchful, and they're all in there, and this is just some of them. So he says over there, and this is where I'm going to close tonight. He says, after rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and then he says, come on, in everything, come on, every circumstance, NIV, in everything, come on, give thanks, for this is God's will concerning you in Christ Jesus. So my friends at here at Only Believe, what I want to encourage you is everything that I taught tonight about what God sees and what we see, it's true. What God says about you, about he that overcome, who is it that is in you? Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's true. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the Son. That's true. All these here scriptures. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's true. Okay? But why is it works for some and it doesn't work for others? Because the promises of God, listen very carefully, they're yes and they're amen. But our job is to position ourselves not in the outer parameters of the will of God, but in the very center of the will of God. All the kingdom activity, everything we've been talking about the last two nights, it all centers in to this very point over here of being in the center of the will of God. When you get outside and you start your whining, the Bible says do all things, not some, without murmuring and complaining. I want to tell you, murmuring and complaining is a legal right for the kingdom of darkness to inflict his work in your life. It's a legal permit that you send to him. Satan is a legalist. Come on. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, and you got some Bible teachers today that are what I call stupid. Because they say, well, you don't need to read the Old Testament. You don't need to know the Old Testament. You're stupid, okay? You're deceived. You're a con artist. How do I know that? Because the Bible says speak to yourself in psalms. Speak to yourself in hymns. Speak to yourself in spiritual. Psalms aren't in the New Testament. Psalms are in the Old. And in case we didn't get that, take heed to the word of the prophets, okay, that you may see everything done. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 10, there was five sins that kept the children of Israel out of the promised land. And one of them was neither murmur ye as they murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Come on. Murmuring literally releases the destroyer and gives him permission to inflict your marriage, to inflict your body, to inflict your church, to inflict your money, to inflict your children. Come on now. And God says, no, thanksgiving keeps you in the will of God. In everything we give thanks. And when we're in the center of the will of God, things just go right. Can you all say amen? Amen. So anyway, he goes on. And the whole message this weekend's been about Pentecost in the Spirit. But 99% of all the messages Rick's ever heard stops in everything. Give thanks, for this is God's will concerning you in Christ Jesus. But the very next word says, quench not the Spirit. Okay, why did he just put that in there? Despise not, prophesy, quench not the spirit. Why did he just put that? Because in context, every time you get into that mumbling, every time you get into that murmuring, every time you get onto that ungratefulness, what happens is you release the keys to the kingdom of God to the devil, and you put it in his hand, and you put your life into his hand. And God says, there he goes, there he goes. He's out of the will of God. I want to help him. I want to work in him. I want to do miracles. I want to break out, but I can't because my hands are tied. He's quenched the spirit.
Come on.
The word quench means to suffocate the spirit. It means to smother the spirit. It literally means to put out the spirit's fire by what? The murmuring and the complaining. Come on. Let's all stand to our feet. I just sensed the reason why so many prayers are unanswered is because we forget. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. And forget not all his benefits. You want to hear something? Ingratitude means forgetfulness. I'll say it again. Ingratitude, ungratefulness means forgetfulness. You can look it up in Webster's dictionary, and it says a poor return on something good that came to them, forgetfulness of something kindness that was done unto their life. And I want you to know something here today. May we never forget that Pentecost was not just an experience, but Pentecost was an empowering to live the rest of our lives that way. May we never forget that the gift of tongues that God has given us, churches fight against it. Churches speak against it. Churches are against it today. They've been seduced by the leaven of the Sadducees today. But may we never forget that it's the gift of tongues, and we want to use that gift every day of our lives. May we never forget that the Holy Spirit is wooing us to spend time with him and not do all the talking, not do all the praying, but be the ones that are the recipient. I've learned over these here years to wait and to just sit there and just lay in the bed and just listen for the voice of God to speak and not do the talking. I probably do 20% of the talking now, and the Holy Ghost is the one that does the 80% of the talking. Amen. The Holy Ghost keeps us fresh. The Holy Ghost keeps us sharp. The Holy Ghost keeps us in track. The Holy Ghost keeps us in the very will of God. The Holy Ghost is our God. The Holy Ghost has given us the advantage. We have the upper hand in life, and the Holy Ghost was not given in vain. The Holy Ghost was to guide you and to lead you into all truth. A guy's been there before. A guy knows the path, and that's where he wants to take you as we close. So my friends that only believe, may we go out of here empowered. May we go out of here in purpose. May we go out of here and see the person of the Holy Spirit and commune with the Holy Spirit and listen to the Holy Spirit and guide our steps by the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues every day to bring glory and honor and souls into the kingdom in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. It's been a treat to be with you the last couple nights. I really like this church. I really love your pastors. And I'm so happy that he's got a papa. He's got a little grandbaby now. Made his day for the both of them. And I'm just so happy for grandma and grandpa that have the little baby here. What a beautiful baby. Amen. Amen. Little Lily, I think her name is. Lacey. Lacey. Just a real doll. We have, by the way, 16 grandkids and 2 great-grandkids. One here and one on the way. Amen. And we got probably 3 more weddings now of our grandkids in the next couple years. And so God's doing amazing. We're just taking what the Bible says, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the nurseries, you know? And so that's what we want to do as a church. But listen, Kathy and I, we come into churches, and we go to some smaller churches in our nation. We don't have a lot of mega churches, if you want to call it, in Canada. But we have some good churches in there. And we go to our Aboriginal churches, they call them First Nations in our land, up in Thunder Bay. It was just that one actually that Eric actually knows, Murray over in Kettle Point. He's got a great, great work over there in Kettle Point, which is a First Nations region in Canada near Grand Bend, Sarnia area, if you know anything on the map. And so Kathy and I, we just are having fun in life. We're traveling, and we do a lot of missions projects that we go. But our biggest thing too is when we go into countries, we don't want to go there and take. We want to just go in and pour our lives into them. Amen. I know that your heart for Only Believe is the same, and that's why we're here. We're connected because likes do attract. And so we have expenses. We have things that are going on inside of our life. But we don't just tell people to live by faith. A few years back, I don't want to get into details, but we had a real tragic disappointment, I guess, more than anything else, to the sum of probably $1.8 million was stolen from us overnight. And, you know, it was like our inheritance, but we looked at and we trusted God, and God took care of us. And I want to just say more than what they could have done. Can you say amen? And so we had to get everything out of our hearts and make sure that forgiveness was there, make sure that everything was shredded, and keep everything on track. And so we created that atmosphere for God to move inside of our lives. Amen. And so all I want to just say, if you'd like to give into Rick for Can Ministries, make your check out to Only Believe, and then they're just going to give us one check, and it's greatly appreciative. And again, we would come if we got nothing, because we care about the church. We care about the people that are here. But they've been very gracious to us and very generous to us, and we appreciate that and everything in. But we just want to say we put a lot of money into the Women's Treatment Center that Kathy runs. And for almost 5 years, all of my traveling when I was still working at the church, almost 100% of my traveling all went 100% into the Windsor Life Center to get it off. And we saw God do great works. Many of you know James Robinson and Betty Robinson. James just passed and went home to be with the Lord 3 weeks ago. Well, James and Betty are friends, and they sold the first $550,000 into Kathy's treatment center. Amen. An American-based ministry in Canada. They gave it to us there. It was great. We've had Kenneth Copeland's ministry has supported us since we've opened. We had Jerry Seville's ministry and Joyce. So many good ministries have helped us in that home. But, you know, wages have gone up. Food has gone up. I think people over here, I was at the gas pump one day in Detroit. I had my Subaru, and I remember going to the gas station, and this guy was complaining about the price of gas over here. I said, what are you complaining about, dude? He looked at me. He said, well, look at the price of here. I said, well, number one, it's 30 cents cheaper than at the corner. And I says, and number two, in Canada, we pay $8 a gallon. Okay? What are you complaining about? Come on. So anyway, he said, well, I didn't know that. I said, well, quit complaining and start thanking. I did. I told him that, you know. So anyway, so that's it. The app is there if you'd like to give for that. We appreciate it. We love you. And let's give a really warm appreciative. You know what? You know what? I just think I need to pray for those that have been quenching the spirit. I just feel that you've quenched it, and you've wondered why, and maybe just the simplicity of how I shared it tonight, you got it. When you whine, you dine with hell. There's sense in the spirit realm that attracts the devil. And Kathy, there's this cologne, it's called Polo Black. She really likes it. She's got another one now. But when I spray it on, I put it all on, and she goes, I like that. Well, how many know that Thanksgiving is a sweet aroma that attracts the presence of God? Amen? But murmuring actually is an invitation to attract the demonic. And many, many churches, I'm going to be honest, have flowed into that. You go ahead.
I've just been feeling there's people here that are not baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Come on, girl.
You have not spoken in tongues, and this is your night. God wants you to receive it. We're here to pray for you that you do receive it. Maybe you've been prayed for before and you didn't get it, and maybe you have a fear, maybe you have a wall, or, you know, I've known people that they're afraid of it, and yet it's the one thing that's just going to charge you up and keep you, help you stay in the will of God. So we want to pray for you tonight. If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, this is your night. So you got to come down. And as my husband said, if you feel like you've been quenching the spirit, maybe you're a complainer, you know you're a complainer, and you want to be free from that, we want to pray for you, because God is here to set you free. He's here because you don't want to leave here the same as you came in. You want to leave here changed. You want to leave here empowered. You want to leave here full of the Holy Ghost and able to do the things that God has called you to do. And so if that's you and you need prayer for any of those reasons, come on down. This is your night. We're not going to let you out of here until you get saved, filled with the Spirit, and just full of what God has for you. Amen. maybe they have some prayer
people too. And also there's a few people here that smoke and you really hate it and it doesn't do your body very good. And this is how I pray for you. God, next time they go to light up, cause them to choke, cause them to spit, cause them to start exhaling until they get filled. Come on now, until they get delivered. And I can't tell you how many people over the years have went home and they lit the cigarette and they started choking, they started coughing, they started spitting in and totally delivered and set free. Can you say amen? Wow, this is great. Team, come and help us. We're gonna need some help. Pardon? Okay, well, I'm good with that. Okay, I'm gonna start right over here. Okay, I'm gonna start right here. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm gonna pray for them smokers. For some reason, I feel there's three that are here. I don't want to zero in on anyone and would never want to shame anyone. I command right now that nicotine stuff over their life broken. And I command right now that spirit of bondages that has been assigned to them to be scattered and shattered by the blood of the cross of Christ. And I loose the assignments of darkness off of them. And I bring the assignment of heaven unto them. And if they ever attempted to light up, cause them to choke, spit, and gag till they get totally free in Jesus' name. And for those that said it, said amen. Somebody been doping up a bit. Somebody been messing around with that weed stuff. And you've just been crossing a few lines over there. And God's saying it's time to put the fire out. It's time to stop it at this year. It has a progression. We deal with treatments with drug addicts at the center constantly. And it always starts with a little bit. It always starts. It's not a big. It's always with something small. And it just gets bigger and bigger. And next thing you know, they're addicts. I'm thinking of little Megan that came through the home, was a street prostitute in Nova Scotia. And grandma drove them all the way from Nova Scotia. I think it was almost 30 some hours. And the daughter got saved. The daughter got delivered, filled with the Spirit. And her sister got free, Jay. She got free. And God's doing great things. Can you say amen? So just put a stop to that thing tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. We pray for you. Loose that tongue. Father, thank you. Thank you for the baptism. Thank you for the Spirit. Thank you inside. Now, right now, Father, you said if a child asks for a piece of bread, he ain't going to give her nothing but the bread. Or fish, you're not going to give her a scorpion or a snake. How much more will you? Oh, shakata. Go ahead. Let us start praying. Okay. Amen. Okay. Okay, Father, right now, we put a stop to the wine. Put your head back. Put it back. Now, Father, create a clear new pathway in my sister's understanding from this moment forward, that every time that whining comes up, she's going to be released. It's going to stop. She's going to say, nope, I'm not going there anymore. Amen. You got it. Go ahead and pray in that language now. Go ahead. Come on. Keep your head back. Go ahead. Yeah, let it clean. Yeah, cleanse that now. Cleanse that brain. Cleanse that mind. Cleanse it, Father. Cleanse it. Go ahead. Keep going. A little bit louder. Yeah, you got it. Uh-huh. You'd like to pray. Yeah, you like to pray. Oh, shakata, in Jesus' name. Amen. You got it. Keep going. You watch and see. You watch and see what happens in 1 month. In 1 month. You got it. Hi, honey. How are you? What can I do?
For the murmuring and complaining, I'm thankful.
Okay. 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 You hear what I said to her?
I did.
What did I say? Put your head back and start creating?
Yes.
Okay. And you're creating new in the breath. Scientific have proven this here. Okay? And so right now we're just going to break every association with hell. Because that's what it does. It just, it literally gives us the legal right. And we're stopping it. Amen? So, yeah. Father, oh, shakata, Father, in the name of Jesus, I sever that cord right now. Even in the generation, I sense it's even generational. I break it on the mom's side. In Jesus' name, by the blood of the cross, I sever that cord. I sever that whining and dining with hell. And now we entertain heaven. Father God, I thank you that she's like the one that came back and gave thanks. And I thank you she was healed. I thank you she was restored. And so this is what I speak over her life. You didn't come up for this here, but I command healing into your knees right now in the name of Jesus. Heal. Heal the knees. Heal in Jesus. Oh, palasakatalanda. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be healed. Thank you, Lord. I believe you got it, girl. You got it. Hi. Hi. What can I do?
Murmuring and complaining.
Okay. Yep. You got it. We're right there.
Yeah, right there.
You're not alone. And we're putting a stop to it today, okay? And I believe God brought me here to share some things. Just think of it. You're having a party at your house, and you don't want to invite the demons. Murmuring does.
Right.
So from this day forward, okay?
Yep.
Say it with me. From this day.
From this day forward.
I'm putting a watch. At my mouth.
At my mouth.
That when the mumbling.
When the mumbling.
And the grumbling
and
comes.
The grumbling comes.
I'm gonna gag.
I'm gonna gag it.
I'm gonna choke.
Nope.
I'm going to spit it out because it's not me.
It's not me.
No longer a part of me.
Nope.
I'm a winner.
I'm a winner.
I'm a champion.
I'm a champion.
Now, Father, create those pathways in my sister's brain. Create them now that the bent that she will go on now will be the bents of heaven. And I thank you for her. I thank you for the gift that she is. I thank you. I'm going to just say something, too, that I'm hearing. You're very hard on yourself, okay? And it's abusive. And anyone else, you would never treat the way you do. And the Holy Ghost is telling me, stop that. It's part of an identity issue that you struggle with, okay? And were you here last night?
No, but I listened this morning.
Okay, so you got it.
Yep.
That's who you are, honey. You're new.
Yep.
And so just take this month every day to go over 2 Corinthians 5. Where it says over there, the new creation.
Yep.
All things have passed. Behold, all things have been. I want you really to focus on that part.
Yeah.
Because that needs to be, because that's where this is coming from.
Gotcha.
Okay. It's like the feeding's coming up.
Yep.
You understand?
Yep.
So heal it. And,
yep.
And you know what?
Yeah.
You're hard on yourself because there was abuse in your life.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So God, all those scars, all those memories, I'm asking for the inner healing of your spirit now on my sister's life. I'm asking God. Those words, and I can just hear them. I'm just asking now that you would just repair. Just repair. It's all part. It's all part of this. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And I'm just going to tell you, you're a champion because I know you're going to do it.
Yep.
Okay? You come and tell Pastor after a month because there's going to be such a change in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not just saying words, God. I'm telling this by the Spirit right now. Amen. You got it. You got it. I'm proud of you. Amen. Thank you. Hey, friend, what can I do for you?
My prayer life has been quenched.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so we know what we got to do now.
Yeah.
Okay? Kick your head back a little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah, there you go. And let's just say this, Father, thank you.
Father, thank you.
For my family.
For my family.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For my church.
For my church.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For the Holy Spirit.
For the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For the love of God.
For the love of God.
I've held it back.
I've held it back.
But tonight.
But tonight.
I'm releasing it. I forgive myself of my shortcomings, of the places of bondage that my mind has gone to. And I release the assignments of hell off of my life. In Jesus' name. Now put your hands on your head and just say, I command the blood of Jesus over my mind, over my emotions, over my thoughts, over my body, over my choices, over my decisions. I command the blood of Jesus to free my mind from this moment forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you what I'm seeing, bro. Your heart's softening. It's softening right now. Okay? I want you to have a little time with God tonight. And just really look at me for a moment. Just pour out your soul. Just God, this is how I'm at. I want to let this go today. I want to let this go. I want to let that go. Amen? And God, I put it down at the cross. And let me daily pick up the cross and the blood. Amen? And you're going to see a change. You're going to see a good change. Can't wait to come back and see you again. Amen? You're going to do it. I know there's such a hunger inside you to do what's right. Okay? Amen? And I don't know what this means, but I break the labels that people have spoken over you and the stereotypes that they've spoken over you. I break those word curses off of your life in the name of Jesus. Amen? You're God's man. You're God's property. I know that's hitting right now. Amen. All those labels, that's ungodly. That's not from God. Amen. People have hurt you in that. They've hurt you big. Give me a hug.
Thank you. I love you, bud.
Broken hearts, man. You remember the words.
Yeah.
Just write them down when you get home. You're gonna remember what I'm saying. Okay? He's gonna use you in some weird circumstances. You're gonna put people across your path. You're gonna see it. Anyway, hi, my friend. How are you?
Well, I'm good. You know, I'm 73, and
you're my age.
Yeah.
Okay.
And 52. I believe that I have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
But to be straight up with you, I can be a complainer.
Okay.
I can be a mumbler, and I quench that Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And I don't want to do that.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at.
That's where we're going to join right now. Okay. And then you can pray with your language later. Okay. But right now we're going to deal with that root issue. Father, my brother's so tender inside, and the murmuring has definitely put a block, quenched his prayers, quenched his journey of faith. And so from this night forward, pull your head back just a little bit. There you go. I know it sounds crazy, but that's the creative part of the brain that kicks into gear. Father, I'm asking for my brother to be free of the heaviness of murmuring that's been attached to his life. I sever its cords by the blood of Jesus. I break its assignment by the blood of Jesus. I command it scattered and shattered off of him now. And all the sway that he goes to so easily and quickly, I break that sway tonight in the name of Jesus. And I decree freedom for him, that at 73, his jubilee is here. His release is here. And every time that murmuring wants to rise up, he's going to say, no, I ain't going there no more. That's old. I'm new in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's one person in your life, I don't know who it is, you just got to ask forgiveness for it. You heard a lot about her. I don't know who that one is. Okay?
Let me ask you this. I've been married 40 plus years.
Okay.
Yeah. Same woman.
Okay.
Good woman.
Yep.
But many times I feel like I need to stand in the gap. And we lost two children.
Okay.
And
disappointed. Yeah.
And when our son died,
wow.
It's been over 10 years, but she's never been the same.
Right.
So what I ask the Lord is simply to somehow touch her to where she understands that when our daughter died, I sat in the living room at 3 a.m. in the morning and I said audibly, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it and I don't know if I can. But it's clear as I'm talking to you, the Spirit said to me to be still and wait on me because I'm God. I didn't hate your daughter, but I knew her ending from the beginning.
Right.
So I wanted to be still. And that's what I pray for my wife, PJ, is to just simply cry out to the Lord and not bury something, but just, you know, and I don't know why I'm telling you all this.
And that's okay. It's okay.
But
we're here for you.
But again, she's just a good woman.
Okay.
And
was she here tonight?
She's never come back.
Okay.
We were always here together. Okay. And she's never been back in this building for 10 years.
Since this happened. Since the tragedy. Can you tell her the man of God said something tonight?
Sure.
Okay. It's time. Just say, the man of God said to me tonight, it's time. It's time to reconnect. It's time. Okay?
She's 70. I'm 73. She's 75.
Okay, it's okay.
And I just don't want her to...
Right, I understand. Okay?
To not make it.
I understand. But you tell her the man of God said it's time. It's time for her. Amen. To reconnect. And Father, give my brother such outrageous favor and such kindness when he says it to her that, honey, it's time to reconnect. It's time to move forward. It's time for us as husband and wife to move forward in Jesus' name. Amen. And tell her the man of God looked me in the eye and said that to tell you. Right. I got it. I like you. Amen. I believe you're going to have a good result. I believe you're going to see her back. Amen. Hey, Brent, how you doing? I'm Rick.
Rick.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. But I've been going through a lot.
Okay.
But I've been bitter. And I've been asking God to change my heart for like...
Okay.
Another thing is, I'm a whiner.
Okay.
And I'm tired of being a whiner.
Right.
I know all the things I'm doing are wrong.
Right.
And all the things I'm doing are good.
Okay.
And I want to move beyond where I'm at.
Right.
And I'm like stuck.
Okay. We're going to get you unstuck right now. Going to cast it out. Okay? I believe there's a spirit here. The spirit of bondage and the spirit of heaviness. Okay? So I know my authority. We're going to take there.
Okay.
And I believe... you're going to act on the choices that you know is the right ones now. Okay? You're going to have the power. That thing has been, the thing has been there. It pushes you down. It makes you hopeless.
Heavy.
Yeah, it
heavy.
Makes you very hopeless.
In fact, I get up every day. I have to get up and I say, I have the joy of the Lord. And I'm not impressed. And I keep telling myself.
Yeah.
But I still carry that feeling.
Right. But we're going to ask God for forgiveness for the bitterness. Okay? Because... can't work in that. You got to get rid of that. Okay? And the Bible says, beware lest the root of bitterness springs up inside of us. It can hit us. And people get defiled. And people get hurt. We don't want that. We don't want that.
Yeah, I'm on the rebound, but I know I gave up. I went down the tubes and I gave up. And ask God, God pull me out of it, but I'm still not where I know I need to be.
Okay, so we're going to, let's just say this. Father, just say it. Just say after me. Father.
Father.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For that root.
That root.
That has brought bad fruit.
Brought bad fruit.
In my life.
In my life.
And tonight I recognize it.
Tonight I recognize it.
And I speak to it.
I speak to it.
And I command it.
I command it.
Uprooted.
Uprooted.
Scattered.
Scattered.
And shattered.
Shattered.
By the blood of Jesus. Now I'll do the rest. Father, I take authority over the spirit of heaviness. I take authority over the spirit of bondages. I take authority and command it to be loosed of your assignment. Come out of my brother now. Loose him and let him go from this moment forward. I thank you for putting him on the right path. I thank you, Father God, he's going to wake up in the morning and he's just going to say, thank you, God. Thank you for another day. Thank you for another opportunity. Thank you for the grace of God that is here to empower me to kick devil butt out in Jesus' name. I thank you for it tonight. Amen. Now the Spirit had no more place, no more authority. Amen. And I think you felt it. I think you, I can sense that right now. Amen. So you're on track.
I'm on track. I'm going to walk in the love of God.
Yeah.
My home.
Yeah.
Because I know that's, I know it.
Right. And you're going to do it now. You have it. You're smiling already, buddy. Yeah. You have it. Yeah. You got it. Let's go do it. We look forward to seeing you next time. I love you a lot, man. Thank you. I mean that. Okay. Hey, bud. I'm having fun up here.
Great.
We're having fun.
Hi. Ask you guys to pray for me. My husband and I have been trying to conceive.
Release a grateful heart into every circumstance of life. The grateful heart. Be it released now to connect with the calling of God to bring promotion 30, 60, and even the optimum yield of the gift in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Hey, how you doing, bro?
I love you, man. You're a good man.
Such a good heart.
Such a good heart. I love you to pieces, man. Amen. You're going to be my, my adopted brother when I come to my
Hallelujah. Well, it's hard to believe. We just went through four nights of and days of our Pentecost conference. We're so thankful for what the Lord has done. People are being infilled with the Holy Spirit here. Thank you for staying here and praying with us. Believe in God for breakthroughs in people's lives. You know, that's you know, the Lord sees us and he sees that these are special people in this building right now. We want to say thank you for using your faith for others. And guess what? God sees that labor of love and he's going to give that miracle back to you as well and bless you. We want to say again thank you to Pastors Rick and Pastor Kathy, to all of our speakers, for all of our teams. We want to say thank you, Dream Team, for helping us with VBS and setup and the services themselves. We've been so thankful the way the Lord has moved. Hundreds upon hundreds of lives have been impacted because of these last 4 days. And we want to say thank you for being here. So we're going to close out tonight. We're going to dismiss you. I think Pastor Rick and Pastor Kathy are still praying. So if you feel led, you're more than welcome to come down for prayer. But we just want to say thank you on behalf of Pastors Randy, Pastor Cole, and on behalf of our entire staff. We're so glad you are here. Believe your lives were impacted in a big, big way. And let me just pray for you and dismiss you tonight, and you can go home. Father, I just thank you, God, for just the moving of your spirit over the last 4 days. We thank you, God, for the miracles that have taken place, the healings that have taken place, the salvations. People have received breakthroughs and deliverance, God. We just thank you, God, for taking bondages off people's lives, God. Thank you for removing the scales off people's eyes, God. Thank you for their hearts being open to receive. And God, we just thank you, Lord, for all you've done. We give you the glory and praise for all that's been accomplished. And God, we just ask you, Lord, be with our family, Lord. Be with our congregation as they head home tonight. Keep them safe. God, I thank you for just a great rest of the work week. And we thank you for being back here on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And give everyone a said in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody. Thanks again, Pastors Rick and Kathy, for being here.